Please open your Bibles. Let's start from the book of Genesis. Okay, that we'll start from that. The one we have been reading about the life of Isaac. Genesis chapter 26. Now, let's read from verse 12. This was what we're reading when we're towards the later end of the Inspired by Isaac series, which we finished last year with. And I want to pick up from that point. Actually, if you remember, if you were around the very last message I preached, I said what I wanted to say that last day initially, that when I was thinking about it, I realized that it's going to take more than just one particular message, that it's going to take a very long one. So I said, let me just take a break, summarize everything we had said up to that point, that when we return this year, I will go into it and begin to discuss it in details. All right? So that's what I want to do now. I'm still looking for a proper word to use for it, a proper phrase to use to title the series, but I'm talking about the season of fruitfulness, generally speaking. When I was praying, I mentioned that, and that's what I want to get into. But the way I will use to describe it, I don't know yet. By the time we finish today, we'll have found a title for it, all right? But you'll see what I want to describe, beginning from now, is how the blessings of God, Now, please, when we are using the word blessing now, be careful. Be careful that you don't interpret everything like a poor person. Are you getting my point? Yes, you know, this poverty mentality that Africans have. You talk about blessings, always money, car, house, all right? You are bigger than that, amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that God was speaking to Abraham, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. Being a blessing is not just about having things, all right? It's about expressing divine character on the earth. It's about infusing the Spirit of God into this earth, all right? It's not just about having money, having food, Now, those things are basic. If you hear the words of Jesus, he said, these are the things that Gentiles seek. Those things are just instruments that you use in the course of living your life for God. Are you getting my point? So the word blessing spiritually in Christianity is beyond that. It's beyond that. And that was why a man like John the Baptist could exist. And he did not feel deprived, even though he did not have a big house. He did not feel deprived, even though many of the things that people in his days had, he didn't have it. Okay? He was very happy with what he was doing because the Spirit of God was in him. He was satisfied with his life, even though all he did, all he had was the goat. What was he wearing? Goat skin. And he was eating, is it camel skin? And he was eating locust and wild honey. You see, that didn't matter to him because his ministry, all right? And that's what the blessing is. The blessing is the power of God, the character of God that he wants to express on this earth, all right? So please, when we're talking about the word blessing, be careful. Be careful because what people do is that they tend to interpret things in the light of their own situations, okay? And I think that having studied the word of God for a long time, we have gone beyond that level. Okay, of thinking that all God exists for is so that he can give you extra food. All he exists for is so he can change your car. All he exists for is so that he can give you a big house, you know, and so that you too can travel all over the world. That's not what he exists for. In the course of your working with God, working for him, you will experience more than all of those things. Are you getting my point? The other day I was listening to them, Ravi Zacharias. You know, some people are praying that God won't meet me, I must go on an international flight. Ravi Zacharias spends 2/3 of his life on international flights. He hardly sleeps on the normal bed. So people like that have to fly first class or business class at worst because he has to remain healthy. Why? His engagements are maybe today is University of Lagos, next time is in University of Melbourne, the one after that is in Sydney, from there he's going over to, maybe he's going to somewhere in the US, after that he'll cross over to somewhere in different parts of Europe. So he's always flying up and down. For him, flying is not luxury, it's not a sign of prosperity. Is I have to get to where I'm going. Are you getting my point? And listen, as believers, we must get to that point where we understand how to interpret life. One of my sermons that will soon come out, I told you, for those of us co-workers, this year, that is one new written sermon a week, minimum. At the end of the year, 52. Okay, no, we break in December. So 48. The Lord is good. Like 2 or 3 are already ready for the year, and it's just the second week in January. So I'm very serious about it. All right? The Lord is good. Now, one of the sermons that will soon come out is the one I titled Numbering Your Days. You must learn how to number your days. Well, just not the days I'm talking about in that sermon, but everything in your life. Why did God give you breath, all right? Why do you have a comfortable house to stay in? Why do you have more money than is necessary for eating and drinking? Why? There's a reason for it. And Christians must learn to interpret life from that perspective, okay? I just felt like digressing to that when we were talking about blessing. Now, back to what I was saying. So when we're talking about the blessing, now, I was trying to explain something. So that there is a mechanism by which the blessing of God begins to express itself on this earth. And that's what I want to begin to talk about, all right? There is a mechanism. Even though God has something in heaven that he wants people to experience on the earth, it won't just happen. He has to build the mechanism. He has to build a way by which that which exists in the realm of the spirit will come down to the earth, all right, to affect people. That thing must be built. The mistake people make, now listen to this, is that oftentimes they make an idol of the methods that he used in previous times. Are you getting my point? Many of the things you read these days, you read a book on retirement planning. People have made an idol of it. It may have been, all right, a way by which God helped people at a time so that in their old age, they will be comfortable. Then people now make an idol of it. And once you make an idol of something, it has lost its spirit, and the body without the spirit is dead. Are you getting my point? One thing I'm going to explain as we are going on is, so we have to be careful that we don't make an idol of methods. As I'm going on, I may teach some practical methods. Maybe Udechukwu is not around. Spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy season 2. It's reminded me about once in a while. We may do it again. But then it's so that people understand that divine blessing usually requires a structure to be built on the earth for it to pass through. But you don't make an idol of that structure. You don't ever make an idol of it. Because he can change it. He will change it from one season to another. It will just change. It will just change. You know, my wife was saying something, you know, she was reading the story of Rebecca. How they came to marry Rebecca. And then next day she just packed and went. He said, ah, waiting. Now so husband hungry Rebecca. I don't know whether you get the point. Yeah. I mean, she was like, what was wrong with this girl? One guy just showed up from somewhere and said, oh, yeah, my master has come and marry you for his son. His son you have never seen. I was trying to make excuse for Rebecca. Now I'm bringing an issue here, okay? Now, if you tell you that a normal young person now, follow that kind of thing, even me, when they preach to you now, I don't go grill. Tell me, say, Pastor, hey, I'm getting married. Where's the guy? He's somewhere in maybe Ghana, Russia, somewhere. That is the father servant that came. Not the father, not the boy. And they are good Christians. I've checked their profile on Google Plus. I went to Facebook. I found the website of the family. In fact, actually, found that we are distant cousins, both spiritually and physically. So, good people. I said, okay. So, what's happening? We are going tomorrow. Ah! Tomorrow? When did you meet the guy? The man came yesterday. Well, I've gone today, but I said I have to see you first. I said, okay, no problem. Wait, I'll go into the room and go and bind the spirit that's pushing you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, the reason I remember that. But you know what? Rebecca was chosen by God for Isaac. We know why. Because we saw the way this man prayed. And God manifested his hand. But I'm looking at an issue here. That was the method he used then. He may not use the method now, but you cannot make an idol of that method. That's what I'm going to explain. Another person's life, in fact, in Jacob's life, the method was different too. Very different. Jacob was there for 7 years looking at the wife every day. Every day. So God manifests his blessing, all right? He can change the method, and that's why we don't make an idol of anyone. And it will be difficult now. As we go on, we'll see one of the things Christians must understand is how not to forget. One of the sermons I began to write, all right, a few days ago, recently anyway, I'll be through with it over before next Saturday, hopefully, all right? That one is titled, Do Not Forget God. Do not forget God. Now, what do I mean by do not forget God? They say everything in life has a risk. If God blesses you exceedingly through the structure through which his blessing is coming to the earth, it is easy to forget God. So that's why he commanded them, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that is bringing blessing through this structure. That structure is not the blessing. That structure is not the source of the blessing. It is just the method through which he's connecting with heaven so as to release the blessing onto the earth. So he said, thou shalt remember. It is not the structure. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Later on we'll discuss that. There are things that people are supposed to do so they will not forget. The Jews had serious laws for remembering. Passover happened years before that. But they still had a law that they had to reenact every motion of Passover that happened in Egypt. When you are doing that sacrificial offering, when you are slaying that animal, you do the same way. The same kind of animal, you eat it like you are going somewhere. Why? Because God said, your children will ask, where are we going? That's the whole aim. That's the whole aim. Imagine I tell Akinolu and all his younger ones, everybody go and dress up, dress up, dress up, dress up. Where are we going? Is it Christmas? Wait, just dress up. Wear your shoes, wear everything. And then I dress up, all right? No, service the engine, the car, everything. Put on the engine, put on the AC. We are going somewhere. So, they're like, where are we going? We're not going anywhere. Then why are we dressed up? I'm eating. You say, eat fast, 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 fast. Don't let it get cold. Eat. Daddy, please, I'm enjoying this food. Why must I eat it in a hurry? So that they will ask, where are we going? That was why God gave them that whole thing. He said, so that you will not tell them. This was how God delivered our ancestors out of Egypt. He brought them out by a mighty hand. Why? It's so crucial that they don't forget God. That's what I'm going to explain. I'll get back to it later. It's so crucial that we don't forget God. Because if God builds a structure for you in life and is blessing you through it, is making you a blessing unto mankind through it, it is so easy to forget. So he put certain laws down for the people so that they will not forget God. If you go and read the story of Israel very well, you know, I keep on saying that thing. Christians who could preach tight, this and that, you don't read you want to copy the one that favors the church, that is the church organization. You don't want to copy the whole thing. If you want to copy the whole thing, that law, which is what we are copying. We are not copying Abraham at all. They say Abraham tithed. We are not copying him. I know he tithed. But believe me, you are not copying Abraham. The one you are copying is Judaism. I don't want to get into that now. But the point is that every law has a spirit. And it's that spirit that Christians are supposed to imbibe. Now, let me just talk about that Jewish one for a moment. If you copied it properly, you will realize that those guys had a very wasteful habit by law. By divine commandment. They had a very wasteful habit. The tithe that we talk about every year was supposed to be wasted in celebration. That is, last year, what's his name? Warren Buffett. How much did he make? Who can tell me again? Anyway, calculate it if you can. He was making $38 million daily for 2013. What Warren Buffett earned in 2013 amounted to $38 million US dollars on a daily basis. At the end of the year, that man earned like $13 or $18 billion in 1 year. But you can do the arithmetic. That's what it came to, $38 million. The Jewish law at that time was that the man had to spend $3.8 million multiplied by 365 and he had to spend it in a week. That was their law. And why was it like that? Of course, they were supposed to use it in celebration. So a man like that, he will just, that is, by that, if December period that they are doing it, he will have to employ people to help him share out money. Why would he was not allowed to invest it though. He had to spend it. Why were they doing like that? He said, so that they will not forget God. That's what he was doing. You behave like that every year, any money you make, a tenth of it, you had to waste. And when I say waste, I mean it is food and drink. You have to call people, guys, time for party. But why was God doing that? That's my emphasis. Because the people mustn't forget God. They tend to forget when he blesses them through a structure. They get into a land. Listen, let me explain something to you. Talking about this structure, we're getting into it. I said something before. I said this many years ago when I was teaching on radio, that God doesn't like working miracles. Now let me say that again so that you will. Now, you know, there are things you do occasionally, just not your habit. Yes, there are things you do occasionally. Like now, I don't like drinking coffee. Yeah, many people drink coffee. This one guy who hardly drinks coffee. I don't just wake up in the morning and start drinking coffee. Anytime you see me spoon a good quantity of instant coffee into whatever I want to drink, know I'm about to drive and I didn't sleep well. That one, you can be sure, is predictable. Or I'm going for a program where I'm not the preacher and I did not sleep well. And it's not good, you know, most times where I go to places these days, a lot of places I go to, I'm known there. So even if I want to crawl in, they tend to drag me to the front, come and sit down here. And if you did not sleep well, as they are preaching, yeah, it's not nice, it's not nice, it's not nice, it's not nice. So when I know that that risk is high, when I'm going out, I drink coffee. It always keeps me awake because I hardly do it. On the average, probably do drink a cup of coffee maybe once in a month or less. Now, why did I say all of this? I don't like drinking coffee. In the same manner, God doesn't like working miracles. But he works it once in a while when things go up. Are you getting my point? He works it in emergency situations when we have to solve certain problems quickly before things spoil completely. Is it that he can't work miracles? No, he can. He can. That journey in the wilderness is not normal. 40 years, your shoes did not wear out. How would you like me to dash you shoes that don't wear out in 40 years? You know what you're going to say? That's a shoes problem. I'm going to change it at the end of the year. You know, whether your shoe wears out or not, you will change it. It's called abundance. Amen? Amen. Yes, you're prospered. Amen? A friend of mine called me once from U.S. It was in New York that time. He said, I just left Amani's shop. And Amani, you know. And they gave him a suit for $2,000. And he was wondering, why should he buy a suit for $2,000? That the man said that the material will never change. He said, what's my problem? Whether it changes or not, I'm going to have to buy another one after it. Of course, he didn't buy it. That's why he called me. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not making an issue. Yet, God did that for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Your clothes did not wear out. Your shoes did not wear out. And it was a sign of God's greatness. And as you know, like, God, that's good. But I'd rather you change it periodically. Use that greatness. You understand the logic? To change it periodically. God gave them manna on a daily basis. I'm sure you don't want manna on a daily basis. In fact, my wife is one person that does not want manna on a daily basis. After the 5th day, she's going to ask God, please, can you change the menu? Not because God can't do anything, but the point I'm trying to make is that what happened in the wilderness was not normal. It wasn't normal. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'll say this to you. You see, sometimes people, there are some miracles people hype. I say, like, you don't want that kind of miracle. How would you like to pray every time before you get water to drink? Think about it for a moment. You will get thirsty first. Then all of you will gather, join hands, and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God that supplies water. We know water is not too difficult for you. It's a good testimony when you get to that point, but usually you don't want to repeat it. It's like, oh God, please, listen. Thank you. Look, I will be thanking you for water all the time, but just keep it there. This prayer meeting before I drink, it's not exactly what I want. So even though he could bring water out of a rock, you rather have water out of your tap. True of us. Even though God can do it, those things were done for emergencies. And I'm saying to you again, he will still do such things in emergencies. But he doesn't want your life to be an emergency life. Are you getting my point? In fact, he told them simply, I did those things so that you will learn to fear God. I did those things to you so that you will understand that man does not live by bread alone. There was a reason why he did those things for them in the wilderness. He now said, now that you are going to the promised land, there, I'm not going to rain any manna from heaven for anybody. I will give you, now, this is structure of God. This is structure of God. I will give you a land that flows with milk and with honey. I will give you a land that from the hills you can mine for minerals. You can dig copper. You can dig iron out of the hills of that land. I will give you a land that drinks water, all right, from the rain of heaven. I will give you a land that is fertile. Then I will give you seed time and harvest, and that one will not cease. There will be a period of the early rain, and there will be a period of the latter rain. And he that watches the winds will not sow. So there is a season for sowing, and I will give you a season for harvesting. I expect you to understand agriculture. Don't enter the land and start raising your hand and say, Lord, we need to eat. Rain manna from heaven. No, once you enter into my promised land, you will not find manna from heaven. Not like I cannot rain manna from heaven. It is not the way I created life to be. I expect you guys to wake up in the morning, go to your businesses, invest your money. Are you getting my point? And use that structure to connect. That's the word. With the blessing that I will give to you. The blessing is not the structure. Your farm is not the one providing food for you. Are you getting my point? No, not your farm, not your labor. It is me. It is just that this is how I have arranged things. You are not going to live your life by these funny miracles. I know I can do them, but I will not do them. That is why you will see that I disagree with a lot of, you know, these posters we found all over town. Everything is emergency breakthrough, sudden miracle. God can do it, but it doesn't expect Christians to queue there. Let unbelievers go there and go and discover God. Let them go there and go and discover God. Let the Christian understand how to build divine structure for bringing down blessing to the earth. There is a time you are broke in life. Thank God for it. And God brought money all of a sudden. You need money to pay rent, just appeared out of nowhere. You need money to eat out of nowhere. You need money to pay fees, school fees for children out of nowhere. But God said, listen, we are not going to live like this for a very long time. A time should come that you will know that you are not going to pray. The money is in the account. The time will come that not only are you paying for your own children, other children's people's children are killed, not because they know you have been blessed to be a blessing. There will be an extra. Not that I'm waiting at the door. I'm expecting the check. It's coming in the name of Jesus. Father God, I begin to call. God say, I know. No, oh boy, yes, it works. I can do it. But listen, if you spend this amount of time believing me for food, amount of time believing me for rent, this amount of time believing me for clothes, what amount of time will you spend doing the reason why I gave you life? Think about it. I mean, the whole of today, as I was moving up and down, I was praying and confessing the word of God. But over what? I'm going to teach the word this evening. Your people will come and hear the word. They will be blessed. They will be. Are you getting my point? If I woke up this morning and said, Lord, you know children have started school now in the name of Jesus. Father, the whole day we go on school fees. The whole day we go on mosquitoes that are trying to fly into my house. Are you getting my point? The whole thing. Now, listen, that's one thing I'm trying to balance for Christians. Yes, God can do it. But is that what he likes to do? No. Mosquitoes disturbing. I look for where they are growing and I find them there. Then I pay somebody come and net the whole house, put screen everywhere so they can't fly into the house. Then I spend my time worrying in quotes now, over something more in line with divine destiny. Are you getting my point? That's why the journey in the wilderness was supposed to be short. All those miracles you saw in the wilderness were not supposed to be seen. The wilderness journey was supposed to be short. The people were supposed to enter into the promised land. They were supposed to have, because one of the things you will understand, okay? I'm saying many things. I hope you are following me. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, one of the things you will understand is this. You know, I thought about this before. I've said this one before, that God created man. Forget man did not evolve. Forget that nonsense. He could not have evolved. You know, today I thought of another reason why, evolution doesn't make sense for the appearance of mankind. Doesn't make sense. It has to be creation. For example, you find things funny. Why are they funny? Why does evolution make things funny? I just thought about it. You know, hear a joke, you laugh. I say it's God that just puts the spirit of laughter in us. Amen. Now, so when God gave life to Adam and Co., there's a reason why I'm bringing that up. You know, people start thinking about how men discovered how to cook, how to mine, how to do, extract iron ore and all of that, iron from the ore and all of that. Have you ever thought about it? This is never the truth. It wasn't by chance, it wasn't by any evolution. What literally happened was that the divine beings who were there before Adam and Co. will show up and teach it to Adam and to his descendants. Spiritual beings. I can prove that to you. I mean, just give you an idea. Because you find out that God, Adam and Co. used to hear his footsteps as he would come into the garden in the cool of the evening. It wasn't a strange thing to them. They were used to it. And I told you before, that was why when what you and I call snake was not snake, all right? The serpent, the one that tempted Eve. If you have Bollinger's Companion Bible, the man will explain to you that it was not a snake. It could not have been a snake. It was not an animal. It was a being, the type that Eve had seen before, and that was why Eve was not shocked at his coming. And that was why Eve would carry on a conversation. If snake shows up, tell you, has God really said, you get behind me, Satan. You don't need it. Snake begin open mouth, gist with you, waiting. That one is not a temptation because something's out of order. Oh, yeah. I'm going on the road. One bird just say, Pastor. Now, why I said all of that is, I want to bring out a point. So, this was God's idea. He will have taken the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, listen to this. And instead of spending the time working miracles, please follow what I'm saying. He will have spent the time teaching them. That's why I went into all of that. Teaching. Teaching them. He will have spent that time teaching them how to cultivate that land. How to dig copper. How to dig iron. How to manufacture things. You see some of the things. One of the kings in Israel actually invented engines for firing arrows. You get my point? He will have spent the time teaching them through different methods. There are men that he will put a particular spirit inside. You have the spirit of the farmer. You will understand crop preservation. You will understand manufacturing. You come here. I will give you the wisdom to develop, different kinds of processing engines. So I'll spend all this time in the wilderness, fighting serpents, raining quail, is it quail, so that you can eat meat. And I've shown you poultry farming. That was what God planned. You see, that wilderness thing, that whole wilderness, how did they end up in the wilderness? Did they enter the promised land and say, we are not able? We are not able. So God sent them back into the wilderness to go and learn that, look, you are able, you understand my point, to see the power of God. And that's why he said, first he made you hungry, and then he fed you with manna, so that you will understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God does man live. That is, they were there just to understand something. I'm saying all of this under a principle. God didn't create you to be living by miracles. Even though he can work miracles. Miracles, what you and I call miracles, should become normal. That is, your life will be a normal, miraculous life. Are you getting my point? It's a normal, that is, what you call miracles is normal. Yes, we have all been broke at one point or the other and prayed and God supplied. I've had such experiences. You walk with God for some time, you will have such experiences. But listen, it is not the normal way of living. God did not design your life to be like that. Let me say this to you. Your days of miraculous supply of money is about to pass. Amen. If you have wisdom, you will say amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying you'll be broke or God will abandon you. That's not what I mean. I mean a time because you become somebody else's miracle. That is, meeting you is their miracle. He said, hey, I was just praying, God, where would this money come from? Then this brother showed up. And when I saw him, I knew God had come. And it's you they are talking about. That is divine life. That's how it's supposed to be. Listen to me. Let me say it to you again. You will become a miracle. Amen. You know what I'm saying there? For you, the money is not a, in quote, miracle. It's normal. It's an investment. It's returns on investment. It's great jobs that you are doing. Inventions that came out of your hand. It is that you wrote a particular program. Google liked it so much. And they pay you $2.5 billion. It's not, in quotes, not a miracle, really. You are not the first. They are paying like that. They paid other people. That they are reading the papers. Yesterday or 2 days ago, about a Nigerian that Google bought something from for $10 billion. I have not heard that before. I don't know how many of you heard of it. I read it in international news. Some people are explaining that, that they are trying to emphasize the fact. They said that of the nationals in the United States, Nigerians are amongst the top 8 when it comes to success. That in the U.S., they calculated it. Nigerians are amongst the top 8. And when they come in, they are amongst the people that have the highest potential to succeed. They added Chinese people, Indians, Nigerians. They added them. That they tend to have a drive. They are intelligent. But that's when I give that example. That's the point I'm trying to make. That is the kind of miracle God expects you, you know, the kind of financial miracles you will start talking about. Listen to me. It's not that they just needed 1,000 naira to just complete that money. No. It's more of, you know, I was reading this book, Out of Africa, and I saw men discussing financial miracles. These guys that started Econet in Nigeria, you understand? You know, they came from Zimbabwe. Was it Zimbabwe? Yes, I think Zimbabwe. You know the kind of prayer they pray, and that's the kind of miracles we want to step into the realm of. This is the kind of prayer, like, we are supposed to go to South Africa and start deploying our companies, sales sites and all of that. There's a problem. Let's gather and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, the door will open. Then they start changing who's in charge, replace one minister with another so as to open the doors where things were closed before. That's what they now call miracle. Are you getting my point? It's business they are doing. They use the power of God to break obstructions. One of the things I was saying, you know, in our prime minister last year, and I mean it. This one that everybody is always begging, because, you know, there are different ways. I told you, there are different ways. People say that is it right for a Christian to give bribe? I've seen Americans try to tell Nigerian Christians how to do business, whether to give bribe or not to give bribe. And I'm not discussing that now. But I just want to say something briefly. They don't understand that in Nigeria, there's a difference between bribe and extortion. Yes, there's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. Bribe is to perfect the way of justice. But sometimes a man block road. Your engine number is correct. Child's number is correct. And he says, in fact, one policeman told me one day, he said, you not do me anything, no. He said it with his mouth. But you, young man, have this kind of car. And me, I day here. You must settle. He said it plain. He said, you not do me anything, no. It's like this. You not do me anything. That this paper correct, insurance up to date, engine number, no mistake, chassis number, the way God made it. But how can you be in this car? At your age, that's what he said. That as young as you are, look at the car you are driving. I mean, I just did here. Oh boy, settle. And he wasn't begging. He was like, you're not going. And according to MK Abiola, if a man carrying a gun says jump, I'll ask him how high. Now, I gave the man money, I did. Was I bribing him?
No.
It was extortion. Now, so people say, you see, there's a difference. And last year when I was teaching, I said, one of the things we have to understand, that's why I'm talking about this, all right? Where the kind of real miracle that God actually works. There are times it's a big deal. It's not just a man stopping you on the road that you can't go, and you give him 200 naira and he's happy. No. They are talking about serious investments that's at stake. And one man decides that it's going to be an obstruction to the progress of God. Because God is not only when we are preaching. When we're investing in this economy, I hope you know it's God. When we're building houses for people to stay in, it's God. There are times, and listen to me, this is an instruction of God. There are times you are extorted, you give the man money, and you put place a curse. No, don't ever, If you are releasing such monies, don't say it with joy. Release it with pain. That is, anyone who eats this money is going into pain and affliction. You should. I mean that I'm not joking about it. You should. But there's a warning which you tell the man straight.